All right, it's 9:30. It's time for Friday Night Hangout. This is where we grab a brew, shoot the breeze, and interact with you live on the internet. Smaller panel from the last few weeks, but it should be still be pretty good. We're going to have our new segments here tonight. So we're going to have our Cards Against Humanity, we have our Wayback Machine, and our podcast review. So lots of good stuff here. So we're going to take a minute here to let you know what is going on with the podcast as people get settled in here. If you are watching live, you can scrub through the PVR. If you're watching the Hangout video and get caught up that way, you can watch the replay, which will come about 20 minutes after we're done the Hangout. And, of course, you can listen to the podcast version, which will show up sometime over the weekend. And let's start off here by introducing the panel tonight. As I mentioned, good panel as usual. Starting in Cape Breton, we got Carrie with us tonight. Good evening, Carrie.
Good evening. Je suis Charlie.
Yes. Flipping over to Halifax, we got Krista, Bite Size Travel, with us. Evening, Krista.
Good evening.
Flipping over to the Valley, we got Lee Hoogly Beer and Booze Reviews on the YouTube.
Evening, hello, hello.
And, of course, I'm here in Halifax with you tonight. And as we get people getting into the routine, let's start off with what we normally do, which is what we are drinking tonight. So we'll start with Lee. What are you drinking tonight, sir?
I am drinking Propeller Revolution.
All right.
Very nice.
Good beer. Krista, what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking La Vache Folle. Extra special bitter from Microbrasserie Charlevoix in Quebec. I love this. I found it a couple of years ago at the Beer Fest, and it is probably the cutest labeling in beer in Canada, maybe?
No, I'm a big fan of La Vache Folle. I like their IPA, and I like their milk stout. I really like their milk stout.
I've had that as well. I really like that. I'm not a big fan of the milk stouts, but theirs is very nice.
Carrie, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking some rum and 7-Up.
Now, is that still that Sea Fever, that Guysborough rum? Or
no.
No? Okay. That went by pretty quick.
Yeah, that went by real quick.
Excellent. All right, we got a few people jumping in, watching us. Thank you for watching. So just a reminder that you can scrub through the videos so you can catch up just like a PVR. But when we get going here, you can see the topics on our Google Plus page on avoiding chores. We have the show page for all the links. And depending how you're watching this, I believe I can turn on some links here if you're using the showcase, but who knows. All right, let's start off with the first topic, which came out of nowhere. Target. Target pulls...
It came out of nowhere, but it wasn't really a surprise, right?
Yeah, I guess since last August we've been hearing the same type of posts and stories there. But first, let's do a quick round of who was a Target sharper in Canada? Like who was going to the Target?
Nope. I heard the horror stories. I heard it was more expensive than Walmart, and the selection was worse than Zellers. So it's like, Why would you want to go there?
Now, Krista, you're a buy local kind of person. Did you ever?
I am. I've been a few times. I've been to the ones in the States, and I just don't live close to one, so it just was never convenient for me. But you know, I went in, I got the odd few things there. I will say though, they carry some good brand name products that you won't necessarily find at a Walmart. So if they're doing the liquidation sale for things like Moleskine notebooks or something like that, like go get them at Target now because they're never on sale, so they'll be on sale now.
Well, I heard their DVD selection was better than Walmart.
Yeah, they have a decent electronics section and accessories for things for your phones and tablets and various doodads and gadgets. I mean, I don't really shop at any of those kinds of those big department stores very often, so my needs are usually pretty specific, but it was fine. But yeah, I mean, I think the criticism that they never had anything on their shelves was well earned because their distribution and logistics was a disaster. And I don't know how you expect to get people to come in your door if you you kind of start poorly and then go, oh, we're really sorry, and then don't do anything about it, and then keep, you know, then just keep apologizing. Like, no thanks.
Now, Carrie, did you go to the one in Sydney?
No, I didn't. And from some coworkers and my wife, who shopped there a couple of times, she said the selection of some of the stuff was very poor. Good in some things, bad in others. I know somebody who's working at the Target here, and she found out it was closing by a text from one of her friends.
Which sounded like pretty much everybody there that I saw. I was a regular Target shopper. The Target that opened when they opened up here in Halifax was a month after our little girl was born. So I was going there for diapers and wipes and everything baby related. It just seemed to have it, and little by little, I was getting the milk, the eggs. I was getting canned veggies, the frozen stuff. I was gonna say though, it was getting a little bit better in the last couple months. In terms of having stuff on stock. But I remember going, and I forget which long weekend it was. I can't remember. It wasn't Christmas. Maybe it was the one in November or Thanksgiving weekend where I needed yogurt. I just needed yogurt, right? So
I need yogurt.
I need some yogurt. I need some Yoplait. And I go in, and I guess they had all the yogurt on sale, and everything was bare. So,
but it's also entirely possible that it never showed up in the first place.
Yeah,
and they didn't have any stock. I will say this: they have their I haven't been there that many times, but they have the one retail feature that I love most in the world, and that is self-scan checking, because I hate small talk. I'm terrible at it, and I want to buy my shit, and I want to get out the door. And I love the simplicity and the zen experience of like bloop. Checking all of your own things, like bloop, and putting them in the bag, and not having to talk to a person, and putting your money in a machine, and just leaving. I love it. I'm going to miss that.
Well, they didn't have that at the Bedford location. They had it at the Halifax location, but
they did.
Oh yeah, well that's okay. There wasn't enough people going there, so they only had one cashier open. So it was kind of like in and out. So it's pretty much self. But
harsh though. That's terrible. That's harsh.
But it's too bad, though. 133 stores.
17,000 people are losing their jobs.
17,000 people, 1,000 people in the Maritimes here within the 6 stores here.
Yeah.
That's a big hit. So that's, and I think the other thing, too, I saw a lot of people like, well, bring back Zellers and bring back Zeddy whatever. It's like...
Those people do not understand how the economy works. I cannot even deal with that.
Well, my thing is, why this attachment to the Zellers brand? People abandoned it years ago, and that's why...
There are people who still are bitter about losing all their Club Zed points when Zellers was sold. Yes. I can't remember if it was sold or was declared bankrupt or what. Like, people lost serious amounts of Club Zed points.
Yeah, and then people forget, like, Target bought the buildings or bought the leases.
About the leases.
Yeah, they didn't buy the brand. The brand,
but it's all gone. Like HPC folded all of that stuff. It's gone.
Yeah. So if you want to be mad at somebody, be mad at HPC more.
Yeah.
So anyway,
those guys are laughing though. They got $1.8 million or $1 billion from Target for those for the Zellers site leases, and they just walked away and counted their money and went see ya, pals.
So now the big thing is who's going to come in. So I don't know. Here in Halifax, who could come in?
Well, there's no one left though. That retail landscape is so different now there's a natural competitor that's like, oh great, now Kmart can come in because Kmart doesn't exist in Canada anymore either. That sort of department store shopping is really on the decline. Like, if there was something that I would think would have a reasonable chance here, it might be something like Simon, the Quebec.
Yeah, Simons, yeah.
Yeah.
You're probably more likely to see like Superstore and Walmart buy up locations than you will see anyone new show up.
Well, like the footing they have at Micmac, that's a huge anchor spot in that mall.
Oh, and like two floors.
And, I don't know what they had in Bedford, and I'm not sure what their Sydney setup was like, but that's a lot of space in a shopping mall to figure out, like, what do we do with this now? You can't really just chop it up and make it into more stores. Like, it's just not laid out like that.
Yeah, exactly. So be very interesting to see what they do with it. So it's too bad. It's too bad. All right, we're going to do a quick round of comments here.
If anybody is with us on Twitter tonight, tell us what you think. Are you going to miss Target? # Friday Night Hangout.
Yes.
And so we have Free Bahali, who's there.
Oh, yes.
Who also supports my love of self-checkouts. So, thank you.
And we'll get Lee to check up on the YouTube comments.
Okay.
And I'll do a quick check here on the Avoiding Chores comment page here. Let's see here. Carrie, are you on the Avoiding Chores?
Yes, I am.
You want to read out some of the comments there from Bluefin?
Yeah. Keith Elliott says, have fun, you reprobates. Nah. Yeah, Bluefin says, hey, gang, he's on his last weekend of his work rotation, so tonight he will be having a cup of tea and a muffin. He'll be home next week.
All right.
He'll be able to join in.
All right. And
the first few times he went to Target, there was not much stock there, and during the summer it seemed to get better, but at Christmas time he bought a few big ticket items there, home theater, Blu-ray, and an iPad, and he says the DVD and music selection was good, and too bad there's 1,700 plus job losses.
Yeah, like Chris was saying before, there, like the electronics section there, not bad. Like, there's
good.
There's some stuff,
I mean,
that you want. Yeah.
It was better than Walmart.
Well, I've been buying some technology there, just, you know, instead of going to whatever store here. So when the liquidation sale starts in the next couple of weeks there, I think people should be going to the electronics section for sure.
Yeah, because I hate Walmart's DVD selection, and I especially hate when they take all the stuff they sort of take off the shelf and they throw it in that bin, and you gotta look like some sort of hobo or something digging
That's
through
right.
trash while you're standing there for 30 minutes trying to find one DVD you want.
Like dumpster diving for a DVD at Walmart. There is no less dignified way to buy a DVD.
All right, we'll switch over to Lee to see if there's any comments on the YouTube page.
Not as yet.
No, okay. It's a slow night tonight. It's a slow night. We do have a number of people.
Socially active evening.
Yeah, so we do have a number of people watching, so thanks everybody for watching. We'll move on to the next topic here, which is a Dartmouth woman was told that she can't breastfeed her 7-month-old while selling prepackaged food at a farmer's market in Dartmouth.
Yeah, so, that's one of those things that escalated, and somebody stepped in and de-escalated that very quickly by applying some common sense.
So what happened was, she's there on the Sunday, whatever. I forget exactly what type of prepackaged food she sells, probably some healthy stuff. And she has a 7-month-old, and she was breastfeeding in between. You know, you're sitting there all morning, 5-6 hours. You got a young one. You gotta take care of that little one. So somebody complained. Food inspector showed up and said, no, contamination and no good. So she went on Facebook and said, I can't afford to pay somebody to be there, so I'm just going to shut her all down. So that made the rounds. And was it the minister?
I believe it was the director of food inspection. It was someone at that level, director, executive director.
So either phoned her up or wrote to her to say that no, big misinterpretation of the rules.
What kind of contamination would there be? Like, I assume she's not selling food that's just splayed out in the open. It's probably packaged food, right?
That's right. I think the the concern that was raised was just by having, it wasn't so much the breastfeeding, it was having a baby and like change, like it was implied that, you know, maybe she'd like change a diaper there and then there would be like baby poo everywhere, and that's like,
so they're trying to go for some sort of slippery slope argument. I mean, if she's going to breastfeed her baby soon, she's going to be changing the diaper.
Yeah, like she's going to have to change a diaper, and then she's like not going to wash her hands apparently because she's an animal. So I think this is something that could have continued to spiral out of control and get a whole bunch of internet people.
Yeah.
Wound up about it, and somebody stepped in and went like, "No, that wasn't the intention. That's not the spirit of what we were getting at. Do this. Yes. Wash your hands like you have to anyway if you're a food handler, yeah, and we're fine."
Yeah, speaking of someone who comes from a place where there is food handling involved in some departments, she's probably a lot more clean than some of the people I know and see.
Oh, no, no.
So, you know, let's... A baby suckling on a teat is hardly more disgusting than some of the stuff I've seen, so people need to get over themselves.
Yeah,
really
quickly. And I don't even think it was that. Like, I don't think she was breastfeeding while she was serving people or anything like that. But, of course, if you made the mistake that I did and went in and read the comments, that certainly was like, oh, you can't be expected to, like, go in and buy something with, like, someone's boob hanging out. I'm like, I don't think that's what was happening at all.
So it wasn't dinner in a show? It was...
No, I don't think so. I don't think it was a tofu burger in a show or whatever. Is nobody else occupied by anything else? They just have to go find things to like complain to government about.
People are looking to be offended because they have no lives, and it makes them special if they get to shout about how offended they are about something.
That's the manufactured outrage we were talking about a little while ago. You know, at a farmer's market, you would expect to see a lot of free people in terms of, you know, lifestyle.
You expect to see breastfeeding and, like, people, like, women who don't wear bras and, like, natural, like, you expect to see vegans and gluten-free bread and all kinds of stuff that is what you expect to find at a farmer's market. Anyway,
let's ask Kerry. He goes to the Sydney farmer's market. Is there any, like, freewheeling people or is it all conservative button-down suits?
Just one. His name is Jeremy.
Jeremy from Big Spruce.
Jeremy from Big Spruce.
Yeah. That kind of got taken off the rails quite fast, but then somebody did smarten up and do something. You know what really, really bothers me about people and little babies, our babies, is when they put them on the counter, like at Tim Hortons, and they're carrying the baby, and then they sit the baby right down on the counter, right in front of you, or they sit the baby on the table, and they're playing with the baby. I mean, I don't know how often they check that baby's underpants or anything, but that just really, really turns me off.
Yeah, I'm sure the employees of those establishments enjoy it as well. You know, God, we got to get the Lysol and the clean in the towel and wipe the table off now.
Tim, you better not put your baby on a counter.
No,
you're in for a whole world of trouble.
I let the missus handle that when we're in public shopping places.
I mean, I will say, though, I think the food inspection unit at Agriculture is to be commended for intervening in this and kind of turning the heat down on it very quickly and, you know, getting to the bottom of the decision and why the decision was originally made and rectifying it the right way. And it's, I mean, you know, I work in government, and sometimes we often do not, we as a people don't get the opportunity to resolve something like that really quickly. And so it was really nice to see that get dealt with very quickly
exactly.
and positively in a way that left everybody feeling good about the situation, and hooray for humanity just this once.
The internet worked. Let's move on to the next topic here, and then we'll do a round of comments here, because we're talking about, you know, people losing their minds. I think the next topic, NASCAR Kurt Busch, he was testifying against his ex-girlfriend on some proceedings there, revealed during this 4 days of testimony that she may be, in fact, an assassin.
So I think there's two possible scenarios here. Either that sounds like the best movie ever, and I would totally watch it because I watched it when it was a TV show called Alias. Or Kurt Busch is kind of disconnecting from reality. She is kind of having a moment.
So the ex-girlfriend filed a criminal complaint against Busch, alleging that he grabbed her and slammed her head into the wall of his motor coach last fall, but he denies those claims. During this testimony, because she filed a restraining order, I believe?
Yeah, I think it sounds like it was a restraining order.
Yeah, it was, anyway, 4 days testimony, and then during this testimony, he kind of just let this out that, you know, she said, you know, he said that his ex was a trained assassin dispatched on covert missions around the world, and
which is more likely, dumbass misogynistic hillbilly NASCAR racer or La Femme Nikita? Which one's probably?
It's one of those things that's so crazy. You just never know. Like, I don't think it's true, but it's so crazy. It could be true. Like,
why'd she kill his dumb ass already?
I know, right?
Well, you know, Busch was saying, you know, everybody on the outside can tell me I'm crazy, but I lived on the inside and I saw it firsthand. Saw her coming that night in a trench coat.
He saw her murdering people. Is that what he's saying?
Well, there's a great piece where she left one night wearing camouflage and came back wearing a trench coat with a bloody evening gown on under it. I'm like, I don't feel like any of that happened. That just sounds like complete nonsense. I don't follow NASCAR. Maybe this guy is really credible and does lots of charity work and isn't crazy at all.
If she was a professional killer, she would have thrown those clothes away and burnt them in an oil drum somewhere before she came home.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because the National Post had a version of this, had this story on their website, and the comments under it were pretty clever for the National Post, which is not known for having very clever comments. But the one that got bumped up to the top rated was, I wouldn't say she was professional. She was easily the messiest assassin I've ever worked with. it was just this kind of clever, like, well done. Conservatives of Southern Ontario, you got a good cigarette.
Yeah. Most professional assassins, you never see them coming. You don't see them close up either, because they kill you from a distance and move on. They don't get bloody.
This isn't on our list, but Lee just reminded me of it. There was this group of gun enthusiasts, let's say, Second Amendment enthusiasts in Texas, that did this recreation of the massacre at Charlie Hebdo to prove their particular point is that, like the NRA logic, where the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. So they brought in all these, and they kept on trying to restage the event over and over again, and they filmed it. And every single time, there was still a massive massacre. Like, they did it with paint guns instead of real guns, obviously. But they kind of completely disproved their point about being...
Yeah, Second Amendment militia people have way too much time on their hands.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. There's a good piece on Gawker about it, if you're into gun enthusiasm.
Yeah, no. Well, I thought the conspiracy theorists that explained that it didn't happen, that was
taken off most of my time. You know?
Yeah, that sounds very credible.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to do a quick round of comments here, but before we do that, I just want to give a little shout-out to some of the supporters here on Avoiding Chores. I recommend you go and check them out on the homepage. They have their logo at the bottom. InReach Canada, they're fully into their winter mode, so you want to check out their Facebook page for snow-related posts, so they're getting into that. And InReach Canada is a two-way satellite communication device, so if you go hiking in the woods, traveling, don't need a cell phone, you got two-way satellite messaging, text, email, it's good.
So when Laurie and I are in New York, we could InReach message each other. Hey, Laurie, I'm down by the south.
Well, you don't have to say, it will attach your location, and Laurie can just navigate to your position.
It's breaker.
It's so easy. Just like all the old CBs.
Outdoor pursuits and urban adventure.
Let's see who else here. Trail Shop, they have their big inventory blowout sale going on right now until, I believe, the 24th. So if you want some winter gear, you want to go and check that out on their store in on Quimpole Street. Picaroons has their SS Coco Beware, which is kind of a chocolate wheat kind of beer. And
do you know where we can get that from?
Fredericton, in a few places around Fredericton on tap.
That's nowhere near my house. That's very unfortunate.
So, did I show what I was drinking tonight?
I don't think you did.
I don't believe you did, no.
I don't think you did. Okay, well, after we do this, comments, we'll do a round of what we're drinking here. And let's see, Ladies Beer League, you want to go to their website, ladiesbeerleague.ca, and check out some of their swag. They got t-shirts, glasses, and buttons, since now they did their big membership drive, and there's a whole bunch of card-carrying members now, and they have an event coming up. are you member number one? Or?
No, I'm member number 008.
Oh, still good, though. Okay, let's do a quick round of comments here. Let's start with Krista. Was anything happening on the Twitter line?
It's pretty quiet on the Twitters tonight because everybody is having a date night.
Apparently. Carrie, anything on avoidingchores.com?
Nothing new.
Nothing new. Lee, anything on the YouTube?
Yeah, they're starting to roll in now. My friend John Riley from Ontario says, Ola Maritimers. How's it going, John?
Great.
Roland Spear says he will miss Starbucks. Well, that's one of us. GC Storm 1 says Target was the only place to get Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce. Jason Spears says, hi, everyone. Just dropping by for a few minutes, having Propeller Revolution tonight. Great minds think alike there, Jason. Roland Spear also says, I'm going with the lapse of reality. And he says, Bush has obviously been sniffing too much fuel flames. I don't know what he's talking about there.
Oh, to give him his brain crazy.
Yeah, brain crazy about the assassin, yeah.
Ah, okay, yeah, there we go.
All right, hey, we got a heavy Cape Breton contingent tonight with Carrie and Roland and Jason. Yes, that's this is the heaviest Cape Breton concentration we've had in a while.
They must all be snowed in tonight, are there?
Something must be going on. All right, it's good to have everybody in there with us here. And let's do a quick round of what we're drinking tonight, since I think I forgot it to do me, but let's do it again. I'm doing Picaroons ZPIPA.
Ooh, I like that.
Very very easy drinking IPA. So it's very good. I enjoyed that. Been a while since I had one of those. Carrie, what are you drinking tonight?
Apparently nothing.
Uh-oh. We have to fix that.
No, I'm taking it easy tonight.
All right. Krista, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm just finishing up the end of my Vacheval ESB, but then I'm going to have a Dieu du Ciel Rosé Hibiscus.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I like that one.
Lee, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm on the old Propeller Revolution.
All right. Good choice. Everybody with good choices tonight. All right. Let's move on to the next topic here, which is Elizabeth Gallagher.
She lives!
The girl who had the magical ticket with her name to take around the world with Dude.
That guy.
So, as predicted on the last Hangout, they did their TV spots once they're all done and whatever. He had his thing where he had some sort of charity going on.
It sounds pretty shady.
Using the power of storytelling and
crowdfunding.
Yeah.
To send other people on vacations.
Yeah.
Okay.
I gotta be honest. I think part of it is just I really resent not coming up with the idea of crowdfunding my own trip planning. So well, for just one cup of coffee a week, you guys could send me to South America this year.
Yeah, and you'll get a free T-shirt for it.
I will send you a T-shirt. There's so much cheaper there. That's no problem.
Yeah.
So much cheaper there.
So we were thinking this has to be a work We haven't seen the ex. We haven't seen the boyfriend of this Elizabeth Gallagher. You know, he's 28. She's 23. What she's thinking? Does she really live in Cole Harbor, or does she live in Toronto and all this stuff? But I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. Could not care less, honestly.
I'm just glad she did not end up in a Thai prison. That's all.
Yeah.
Or Nepalese prison.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no.
I think she had a good experience. It sounds like, from the interview I read with her in the provincial paper, it sounds like the travel was a bit wearing. If you go back a few weeks in the podcast, you will see that I predicted this because it was an insane amount of travel to try to accomplish in 2.5 weeks. So she found that a bit much. But what I think was probably the redeeming part for her was that she lived in Thailand before she taught English. So when they got to that point, and she, who knows, maybe she had had quite enough of him by that point, she went off and did her own thing. Because you can find his Instagram and his Twitter and stuff. And he posted all these pictures, and she is nowhere to be seen. But in the Chronicle Herald story, it kind of explains what happened, where she kind of went off and did her own thing. And so Elizabeth Gallagher, I salute you and your successful return and not ending up in a Thai prison.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
Good for her. Good for her.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Now, what's also good for a few people on your do-do list, you could have, as of a couple days ago, paid $10 to some guy in Australia to ship an envelope full of glitter to your enemies. Buddy had a brilliant website. It's called shipglittertoyourenemies.com, where you paid him $10 and he would send an envelope full of herpes of the craft world in an envelope to them. Overflowing with orders, turned off his store, and I checked his Twitter, and earlier today he wants to sell it. He wants to sell the domain. Yeah. He wants to sell it. Too much work. Stuffing herpes of the craft world.
Too much work.
I love about this, because he probably got this idea and went like, haha, look, this will be funny. And then it totally backfired on him. Like, if you go through the trouble of setting up an e-commerce site for this sort of thing, and you, like, how upset are you entitled to be when it actually is
successful? So he hasn't revealed how many envelopes he has to stuff with glitter.
Oh, it's, if you find the site where he's put it, it's linked. He has Twitter links to it. Where he put it up for sale, he puts some of the stats.
Oh, okay.
And I think there was something like 20,000 orders, maybe.
So, the money he made on this, he could have easily hired a person to package it for him.
Exactly.
This is goddamn ridiculous. This is the e-commerce version of the pet rock. I mean, would I rather buy a pet rock, or could I just pick a rock out of my garden? It's the same thing. It's like, I could send glitter to someone for a lot cheaper on my own.
Yeah.
This idiot thought of the idea.
But maybe what I'll do is one-up it, and I will set up an e-commerce site where I will send a postcard full of glitter to your enemy. I'll take a postcard, I'll cover it with a layer of Mod Podge, I will coat that bastard in glitter, I'll let it dry, and then I'll put it into the Canada Post mail system. And then not only will your enemy get a postcard covered in glitter, but every single part of Canada Post that touches it will just be coated in glitter. So that was retribution for every time Canada Post said they delivered a package and they didn't. Or any time they wouldn't deliver your mail because you hadn't shoveled off your step, or any of those bogus reasons that you have to interact with Canada Post, you can get your revenge by paying me $25 Canadian to send them a postcard covered in glitter.
Wow. You know what? If I hate someone that much, I'm just going to empty my cat's litter box into a parcel and send that.
You can also do that. But, so, you know. Hashtag Friday Night Hangout. Let me know if you want me to send someone a postcard covered in glitter.
Yes.
Let me know if you want my cat's poop.
Or if you want Lee's cat's poop.
Because I don't want it.
Hashtag Friday Night Hangout. And there is an endless supply of that. We do not. We will not have a target Canada like fulfillment problem.
My cat eats a lot. There won't be a supply problem.
We're going to be doing a couple of the new bits. We have Cards Against Humanity. We'll do a round of that. And if you happen to have your cards, people, you can play along with us on the Friday Night Hangout. Just do the hashtag. Or if you don't have the cards, you can download the PDF, the free
should,
stuff.
They should do it by Twitter. They should do Friday Night Hangout hashtag and do their card there.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll do it that way. So we'll do that here in a couple of minutes, and then we'll have our Wayback Machine and podcast review there. So before we get to the next, before we get to the Cards Against Humanity bit, we'll do a last little mention of some of the supporters here on Avoiding Chores. North Brewing here in Halifax, they got their milk stout back flowing again. So if you want a milk stout, we were talking about milk stouts earlier, give North Brewing a try. They have a pretty good version there. Garrison Brewing, they have their EKG One Hop series out again this year in six-pack format. And they also teased the barrel-aged spruce beer.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Coming out on Monday, and I can't wait to get my hands on that. The Hell Bay, just a reminder, if you're in any of the private stores in Halifax, you can find Hell Bay products there. And Sea Level, they put out before Christmas, or maybe after Christmas, their barrel-aged High Street Wee Heavy. And it still might be on tap at the Boardroom Cafe here in Halifax.
And they had that last night at the Craft Beer and Local Food Festival that I attended.
That's true. All right, so we're going to be doing the Cards Against Humanity, and this is where we grab our cards. So the way we do it here, you pick 10 of your white cards. And what we're going to do here, each of the panelists will pick a black card. And I'll pick for you. Lee can pick one here randomly there from the PDF there, page 26 onward. You can do page 20. Do page 29. You can just pick
29?
One.
29? Okay.
Yeah, 29, and we'll pick one from there. So if you're watching everybody on Twitter, if you can play along, just pick out a white card and hashtag Friday Night Hangout. Answer to one of the cards here so we can play along there. So, all right, so everybody got the cards?
Yes.
All right, perfect. All right, so I'll start with the first black card, and the panel can show their cards on the screen, and I'll read them out there. All right, so the first one here is blank. That's how I want to die. Blank. That's how I want to die. Pick one of your white cards that would fit that answer most appropriately and flash that on the screen. All right. Krista says, Mr. Clean, right behind you.
Right behind
you. That's how I want to die. What'd you got? What do you have, Carrie?
He's on mute.
Oh, he's on mute. There we go.
No, it can't be that one. Here.
Alright, Carrie says, licking things to claim them as your own. That's how I want to die. Picking up all sorts of random things. Perfect. Lee, which card fits well with this?
I will put a subscription to Men's Fitness.
That's how I want to die. Yeah, very appropriate. perfect. Good stuff. All right, round one done. And if you have a card you want to throw in with that, you can hashtag that Friday Night Hangout, and we'll read that out here in a bit. Let's move on to the next round here. We'll get Carrie to pick out a black card. What's the next Happy Meal toy? What's the next Happy Meal toy?
Mm.
All right. This is so wrong.
All right, I got one. All right, so let's start with Krista. What you got?
Stephen Hawking talking dirty. I'm so sorry. That's awful.
Lee, what do you got?
A pyramid of severed heads.
And I had a defective condom.
That's bad.
I could make a really, really bad joke about how that's how you end up getting to buy Happy Meals in the first place. But.
Yeah. All right, so this is the Cards Against Humanity, kids. This is what everyone's doing these days, having fun with this. So we'll proceed with the next round with Krista. Krista's going to be choosing a black card, and we'll choose a white card as the best answer.
All right. Gentlemen, what's a girl's best friend?
It's a girl's best friend.
All right.
All right, I'll start.
What's a girl's best friend, Jim?
Hot cheese. Lee, what you got?
Wifely duties.
Oh, that is so gross.
All right, Carrie, what you got? Choose one. A little higher. The invisible hand. All right, perfect, great.
I've got one more that I would actually be really curious. It would be really fun to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I may.
Sure. Why not?
Okay. Because I think you guys will have great answers for it. Particularly since so many of our friends are off on date night tonight. So for the people that are normally with us who will be listening to this later, a romantic candlelit dinner would be incomplete without blank. A romantic candlelit dinner would be incomplete without blank.
Mm. I got one.
All right.
Tentacle porn. Carrie has old people smell.
Old people smell. I'll see you, Dan.
What you got, Lee?
Being fat and stupid.
All right. The last round here, we'll get Lee to choose one of the black cards.
Okay.
You can pick a random one there.
Yeah, let's see here. Find something really good. Let's see that. I think that one was said last week. A recent laboratory study shows that undergraduates have 50% less sex after being exposed to.
Oh, God. All right. Let's do this. All right.
Okay. I'll start with me.
Okay.
Yeast. What do you got, Krista?
Children on leashes.
Carrie, what do you got? Cards Against Humanity. perfect. And that is it, kids. Oh. Cards Against Humanity. That's how we do the bit. Just do a quick round. And if you want to play along, you can play along. That was fun.
I do enjoy this. It does provide a lot of great perspective into how our brains work. Mm.
All right, so let's do our way back machine, and we'll start the process of winding down yet another show. We're going to have the year 1977 to think about. So the Wayback Machine, think way back, 1977.
Elvis died in 1977.
Elvis died.
Drops the mic.
Music died. But mostly Elvis.
Yeah, no,
he reviewed their first album.
The Clash, yeah.
And the Sex Pistols, they released Nevermind the Bollocks, and it was banned immediately.
Yeah.
Yep.
There were some new comedians, I guess, that was hitting the stage. Andy Kaufman, Jerry Seinfeld were hitting or making the scene.
God, it's hard to believe Seinfeld's been doing stand-up that long.
Ooh. Eight Is Enough was on TV, premiered that year. Eight Is Enough. Do you remember, anybody remember that show?
Yeah, they were the pre-Duggars.
That show's more like Eight Was Too Much.
Yeah.
Let's see, we got ABBA, Dancing Queen. That was 1977.
That was an important song about dancing.
With queens. Yeah,
it's a pretty important part of it.
Now, you know, we're not talking about the big elephant in the room, but Star Wars was out.
Yeah,
87.
Which one? Number what? 4? Was it?
Yeah, yeah.
In the contemporary number.
I don't acknowledge those prequels.
Have you heard about the machete? What is it? The machete cut of Star Wars?
No.
It's like this alternate theory of how you watch them. So you watch A New Hope, and Empire, and then the second prequel, and then the third prequel, and then Return of the Jedi. And it gives you like this like whole new way of seeing them. I honestly don't care enough to ever watch any of them again, but somebody gave this a lot of thought and put this together.
Some people have far too much time on their hands.
Far too much time on their hands.
Far too much. Let's see. What other movies? There was...
Yeah, and while we find some other stuff to do here, let's mix in some viewer comments here to see if we can do the same check there at the same time. Lee, was there anything did you find from 1977 before?
Yeah, I should just mention some other albums. Ramones, Rocket to Russia, which was their second album, which... Actually, I think that was their third album, their best regarded one. Rumors from Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, that was a good album. Ooh.
And let's see, anything else in music? There's a lot I could go into. But,
that was the year that disco was colliding with AM Gold on the chart. Because when you read through the Billboard Hot 100 for that year, it's amazing. Like, the number one song in 1977 was Rod Stewart, Tonight's the Night. And then number three was Emotions, Best of My Love. And then you go down a little bit further, and then you get into some pretty decent, like, ELO and the Eagles. Like, Eagles, Hotel California was the number 19 song of 1977. Not the number one, not in the top 10, the number 19. The number 19 behind Barbra Streisand and the love theme from A Star Is Born.
And just to quote the Big Lebowski, I hate the fucking Eagles, man.
Carrie, is there anything on any comments on avoiding chores?
None. No, but 1977, like I said, I was 18 years old then. I was drinking in bars and doing all kinds of other stuff, and I know exactly where I was when Elvis Presley died, where we heard the news and all this other stuff. So it was for me, it was part of my formative years.
So where were you when Elvis Presley died? Tell us that story.
I was in an Camp Grayling, Michigan, with the Army Reserves doing some live fire shooting and stuff. So we were training with the Americans. So it was, you know,
Elvis,
just about
Elvis
that time.
Elvis loved guns. Elvis loved guns. He would have loved that.
Yeah.
So after you found out what happened, now it's really common to everybody gather around CNN and kind of watch it unfold and whatever aftermath unfolds. But when something like that happens, that's really breaking news. Where do you go? Do you kind of go to the bar and drink, or do you just sit around and watch the news, or what did you do that night? Did you do anything to...
Can't remember exactly what I did that night, but I remember during the day we were there, and when we heard about it, and everybody got a little bit depressed, and then we went on our way doing our stuff that we had to do for the day, so it was nothing. Mm. For me at that age, it was nothing. Maybe for the older people, it was a little bit more.
Yeah, my mother took it pretty badly.
The Big Ear radio telescope heard what many may consider a radio transmission from outer space from an intelligent extraterrestrial source. This comes from John. He's sending me this little message here to let us know what happened in 1977. The Atari 2600 console was released in North America.
Mm.
Do you know that if you come visit me at my home, you can see an Atari 2600 that still works?
Or some tanks, where the game.
We can play some
asteroids.
Pong. I have asteroids. Yeah, I have Pong. I've got Frogman, Ms. Pac-Man. I've got four games, and they all still work.
Those consoles work really well. They were built way better than the stuff you see these days.
Oh yeah. Oh. I have to figure out how to hook them up to my digital television now. I have no idea what
you
to
can't.
Do it.
You can't do it.
I wonder if I could hook it up to my VCR from the 90s.
Maybe if it. I think that still used the old the little like metal hooks or whatever you had to screw into the back of the TV.
Yeah, that's what I have to hook it up. I'm gonna work on it.
Krista. You got a lot of old stuff in your.
I am a lot of old stuff. What can I say?
Son of Sam was captured.
Yep. Told everyone in
New York.
Told everyone the neighbor's dog. Told him to kill people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And John's feeding me all the stuff here. John also says here, Stanley Cup champs, Montreal Canadiens.
Ah, oh, that's nice.
Hockey, awesome.
Was that the... I wish I knew enough to make a really good burn, whether that was the last time they won or not.
No, they've won
since. I think that was part of their three or four cup, one of their last dynasty runs, that where they won a crap load, so...
That was also the year smallpox was eradicated. So hooray, hooray for humanity!
It wasn't until people started becoming anti-vax, and then all of a sudden you see it pop up again.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there's on the Wikipedia page, there's a picture of a kid with smallpox next to the information. So I think even like hippie anti-vaxxers don't want their children to look like that.
You should hope they don't.
Well, you hope. What can you do?
Other than that, geez, 77. You know, a lot of stuff happened. You know,
it was I remembered anything about that year other than being, you know, three, because they're just if you're looking at what's happening in the world and in politics, or if you're looking at what's happening in music, there's all this very dramatic change happening. There's, you know, like guitar, rock, and disco, which is the absolute, which was kind of a rebellion to lots of other things, and an age of decadence, but that actually, you know, led into what became a really dire period in the 80s, where you had where AIDS arrived, and, you know, all these, like, new crazy drugs appeared, and people started smoking crack, and, you know, and then it was a really dark period in the 80s were dark. You know, we were going to be annihilated every day by the Soviets, and then the 90s showed up, and everybody just started, like, listening to rock and doing drugs again, so.
Yeah.
Happier days.
The first test of the space shuttle, flight test of the space shuttle that was done, top of an airplane.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in...
It was a big year for space.
Big year. President Carter... Jimmy Carter had a lot of stuff going on here. In the I Love New York from John, and reminding us that the New York State Department of Economic Development, the I Heart New York ad, the logo, which I believe 99% Invisible podcast, they spent some time on, that whole background of how that logo got created and such.
Oh, really? I'll have to give that a listen as I'm going to New York in just 2 short weeks from today.
And that is a very good segue to our last topic here. This is the wind down here, podcast review. This is where if we listen to any new podcasts, we want to recommend an episode or a new source. We can do that also. I've been listening to basically what we've been suggesting the last couple weeks, and the one that I kind of was liking here was the Death, Sex, and Money podcast.
Oh, good. Yeah, I really like that.
So it's pretty.
That was a nice find.
Well, it was pretty good. Lee, have you been listening to anything new lately in terms of podcasts?
Nothing particularly new, but I mean, I do have a long list of movie podcasts and stuff I tend to listen to. I did pick one from my list for this time around. It's called The Midnight Movie Cowboys.
Okay.
MidnightMovieCowboys.com. Just a word to the wise, they do have a very politically incorrect sense of humor, so if you're easily offended, you probably don't want to listen to them. But they really go in depth about subjects revolving around old VHS movies, a lot of old 70s and 60s films, martial arts films, stuff like that. They talk a lot about that stuff. They tend to shit on a lot of new movies and elevate older
sequels.
Yeah, they sort of elevate older movies to the status of godhood and crap on newer stuff that's just sort of, you know, derivatives and garbage like that. But I find it a very entertaining podcast. Everyone on it knows their shit. They have a lot of good background information about movies and the film industry in general, and I find it very informative and entertaining. So,
excellent. Krista, what you got? Anything new?
As you know, I really like the NPR podcasts, and there's a new one this week that you've probably heard plugged on some other NPR podcasts called Invisibilia, and it's I've only listened to half of a pre-episode. I've got the other two banked here that I'm probably going to get to before, hopefully over the weekend. But it's exploring the others, how things work, how your brain works, what's really going on there. And the radio, they're from the people that do Radiolab, so Radiolab broadcasts half of the first episode as an intro for it. And the basic idea was they're talking with this guy who just kind of out of the blue one day was in his kitchen with his wife, and she was cutting up carrots with a knife, and he started having these thoughts like, I could just take that knife out of her hand and kill her. And so... and it's kind of what happens from there. And so a friend of mine has listened to the other half of it. She's like, you got to keep listening because it gets so crazy from there. So it sounds pretty engaging. It's about an hour long. It's a little bit longer than I usually like my episodes because I listen to them when I'm walking back and forth to work. But the NPR crew and the Slate crew with their podcast, they just seem to be packaging things. They're figuring out how to do podcasting, even their short-run series. They're slicing things together in very narrow subject categories like the Death, Sex, and Money. I love that one. It's fantastic. The Planet Money is like that as well. It's things that they're just these random occurrences in the economy, and then they just go in and explore it a bit. That's always interesting, and there's just so much good podcasting coming out of NPR in particular, but also Slate as well.
All right, Carrie, got anything you discovered this past week?
No, sorry.
That's okay. Nothing wrong about that.
I know when he listens to the Avoiding Chores podcast.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I don't need to.
God damn it.
Oh. Okay. Just because you're on it, Carrie, doesn't mean you may want to listen to the replay.
I do listen to the Avoiding Chores podcast. It is very entertaining.
It is. We watch it on the TV again on Sunday with the missus, and the missus gives me critical feedback.
Oh, thanks.
Like, get that other bald guy off the show. And...
She's like, well, why do you think I wear a hat in the last few weeks?
You burnt. You got burnt.
No. The podcast is doing pretty good. So if you go to the Avoiding Chores and go to the About section, I do all sorts of stats and stuff so you can see how things are going there, but the podcast is growing pretty good, and I think I downloaded the logs. I have to do some analysis here, but I think we've increased again by a few hundred downloads over January so far, so we're doing pretty good with that way. All right, so that is about it, kids. We're going to wind things down here. One last quick look at the comments on Twitter and make sure we didn't miss anybody. Thanks to John for sending me all these DMs on 1977. It's good to hear from you there, and you have such a good memory of that period. Carrie, do you have anything on avoiding chores?
Just a few minutes ago, Lupin says his connection was bad, so we had to depart. Yeah, you just work in the morning, and you'll catch the show on the podcast when he gets home on Monday.
That's okay. Right. Awesome. Download it on Monday and enjoy.
That's right. Lee, any comments on the YouTube?
Yeah, we got a few here. Jason Spears says there's actually still two Zellers stores left around Toronto. They use them to liquidate stuff from the other stores.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That sounds fascinating. There's probably some weird stuff in there.
Andy F. says he was born in 1977, so assuming it was a good year for diapers. and John Bignall says, anyone interested in bitcoins and its recent crash this week?
You know, there was one other news story that I saw was about bitcoins. I kind of lost. Now, I think, if memory serves, John was mining bitcoins a year or two ago there, so I don't know how he's doing with that, but I honestly haven't heard nothing about it other than trying to find the guy who created it, this guy in California. But
the Mt. Gox guy, because that's all caught up in the Silk Road trial that's going on right now.
Mm.
I can't talk about Bitcoin without revealing how little I know about it, so I'll just...
I only got interested way too late on that, so... All right, so, Krista, do you got anything on the Twitter? Yeah.
We don't, but I will take this opportunity to forewarn Lori and Keith and Dan that they will be getting their postcards full of glitter. As soon as the Mod Podge dries.
That would be funny. I got their addresses too, so I can help you
out. Oh, shit. Well, I'll get the litter box ready then.
All right, excellent. All right, so that's it, kids. That's it for tonight. We're going to wrap it up for yet another week. Just a reminder, the replay will start about 10, 20 minutes once we're done here. You can watch it over again. Podcast, I'll upload it during the weekend. Hopefully at least by Sunday so you can download it for your Monday morning commute. All right, Krista, do you want to do our we're trying our closings instead of doing our little wave here, but we have our closing.
That's right. Blur. Good meeting, everyone.
Good meeting.